sweet, sweet room noise.
So this is nice. I'm liking this drink.
You're gonna have to name it.
Oh man, it's too complicated for me to name. I think I named the last one, so you're gonna have to come up with something later for this.
It's so, root beer kombucha, vanilla extract, rum.
So yeah, let me start with this. Let me start with giving a plug to this this root beer kombucha. So kombuchas have like taken off like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They're becoming more and more popular. Wegmans, our Wegmans here has a kombucha section.
Yes, and they sell Fairport Brewing Company.
Fairport Brewing Company, which is one of our favorites.
Mm-hmm.
They have, I forget what the other brands. They have a lot of different brands in there now.
Yeah, they're all, you know, like that, like holistic sounding, like
yeah,
live raw and organic kombucha.
Yeah, so the kombucha brewers have been trying to up their game to compete in this what's becoming a very crowded market,
cutthroat kombucha market.
Yeah. So this is one, and I think they're from Austin, Texas, if I'm incorrect.
I believe you're right, because I bought this brand, and I remember saying, oh, Austin, yep, handcrafted in Austin, okay. Texas.
So this is live kombucha, and I guess the family used to brew soda, or not brew soda, to make soda. And that was the family business, and the person who is running it now inherited it or took it over or whatever, and he's like, you know what, I'm going to try to make something healthy out of this instead of the super sugary, sweet, terrible things
death,
that my family has
death
been...
Death drink.
Yes, the death that my family has been peddling so successfully for so many years.
Here, kids, drink sugar, die young.
So they have... this is the root beer kombucha, and it is delicious.
Mm-hmm. We had this that one time, right?
Yeah, we brought this for like Memorial Day or something.
Right.
And, I was really surprised at how good it is, and it tastes like root beer.
Yeah,
it doesn't have you know the sweetness of a root beer soda.
It's Revive root beer. It revives you.
Right, sure. it doesn't have nearly the sugar of a root beer.
Oh man, dude, this is super Debbie Downer. This is the first sentence on the back of the bottle. You ready? After my sister passed away. Damn, shit. I wanted to change my family's beverage choices, particularly my father's, who was a soda addict. So, presumably, soda killed his sister. That's how I'm reading that.
Oh, okay. Maybe I misunderstood, and I kind of just glanced at that. So maybe the family business wasn't making soda? I don't know.
Yeah, I think soda just killed his family.
Okay, well,
which
that's...
Which is way better.
So, scratch what I said. This is a guy who hates soda because soda murdered the people he loved.
Jesus. Wow. this is basically taken the kombucha.
Yeah. So, there's hardly any... There's very, very little sugar in this. A little bit. It doesn't need it. I mean, just drinking it straight is wonderful.
It's quite pleasant to drink on its own.
They also make a cola flavor and a... I forget what it's called, but it's basically like a Dr. Pepper flavor. Dr. Pepper doesn't taste quite like Dr. Pepper, but you can like see that's kind of where they're going with it.
Okay.
Unlike the root beer, which is like, yeah, this just straight up tastes like
root beer. Well, root beer and cola are actual herbal like origins.
Yes.
Where they get their flavoring. So I could totally see them nailing that because, I mean, the Coke nowadays is a far removed product from the original colas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about cocaine. I just mean, because that's an easy thing. It's an easy well to dip to. But, you know, just the herbal origins of it have changed a great deal.
So we took this wonderful drink that this man has made to combat unhealthiness and made it completely unhealthy.
Cheers! This will actually kill you faster than just drinking soda. So yeah. Go us.
So we added some black rum, a little bit of vanilla extract, and some orange bitters, and it's pretty damn good. It's you still definitely get the root beer herbalness in it.
Mine a little
it all
less.
Kind of works together.
Because of the extra rum.
Yeah, you have a little more rum.
Yeah, was you. That wasn't me. You did that.
All right, you're not complaining though.
Who said I was complaining? Hi, we are buddies in space. You are.
That's Michael Smith, and you are.
And Michael Carazzi.
How would you say that? A week ago.
And
you are...
M. Michael Carossi.
Oh, you've lost it already. Wow.
I never had it. I cannot do the Australian accent.
But you were there.
It doesn't matter.
You were literally... Mr. Carrasi here just got back a few days ago from Down Under.
A very unexpected, emergency. Very short notice emergency work trip for 2 weeks to Australia.
And it might sound like fun to some people, that absolutely was not for you.
You probably
had some bright points, but I'll just say this. You missed the 4th of July.
I missed my wedding anniversary.
Your wedding anniversary.
I missed my son's first trip to an amusement park. Yes. I missed my son moving up to the next room in daycare, which has been a pretty big deal. It's altered his personality a good bit.
So this is like one of the worst possible times. Yeah. Time periods for fucking you awful. To have been gone. But you're back and you made it. And what's important is that you made it back without being murdered by any of the many things in Australia that will try to murder you.
It is their winter, so they are in the everything about them is the opposite. They are the ground is up, and their heads point down, which is absolutely accurate. And they drive on the wrong side of the road. Their steering wheels are on the wrong side. Someone really needs to fix that because it's very disconcerting. And I actually had a list of all the weird shit I noticed. It's weird to me. But it is their winter. Their winter is like our fall.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like 40s and 50s. So I was like, I was a little underdressed, but I was okay for the most part. They were bundled up like it was fucking Siberia. And I'm like, well, and one of them, the guy I was working with the most who at the office, all of them were very nice. Like, they don't seem to get the seasonal affective disorder that like New Yorkers get, where it's like winter is like, oh, I'm going to be 5 times meaner. Yeah. When it's cold out, you know?
Was there still, like, sun, though?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, that...
Yeah, they don't get snow. They don't get snow in Melbourne.
Uh-huh.
Now, we might say Melbourne, which would be completely inaccurate, or Melbourne, which would be understandable. But no, it is pronounced like it is spelled M-E-L-B-A-N, Melbourne. As my coworker, I was down there helping Ruse, said it's just... There's no R. So, take a step back. I have dreamed of going to Australia since I was like 12 because I fell in love with the lead actress in the, I think it was a Disney show called Ocean Girl.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Now.
I know, because no one does, because the show is terrible.
This must be super obscure.
I think it is. I haven't even tried to find it because I know it isn't worth it. But it was like this Disney, like somewhat supernatural show. I don't fucking know. It was people living underwater or some shit.
It was like a live action thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. You know, Disney used to do a lot of live-action stuff back in, like, the 80s and 90s. Yeah. I had this huge crush. I was, like, 12. I had this huge crush on the main girl. She was Australian, or it was set in Australia, or both. And so I remember, like, telling my mom, like, I want to go to Australia. And so what I didn't dream of was going to Australia for my job, which would take up, like, 10 hours or to 12 hours a day, and go in the winter and go to Melbourne, which really was a lovely city, but... is in Victoria, which is restrictive on, like, animal stuff. Like, I couldn't cuddle a koala. This is all I wanted to do. You're not allowed to hold a koala in the state of Victoria in Australia.
And are they just, like, hanging from trees everywhere?
Not in the city.
You could just go pick one, but it was, you know, illegal.
It wouldn't be ripe. If you go outside of the city, yes.
So really, you could like, go out into the rural area. The bush. And they're just... koalas for the taking.
Oh, yeah. If you look up YouTube, like, did koalas just, like, run next to people on four-wheelers? And you're just like, we don't give a shit. We're koalas. What are you going to do?
Wait, koalas run?
Yeah, there's a video of it running. It's, like, chasing after a four-wheeler trying to catch up.
You just blew my mind with that one.
Well, if you really want to get your mind blown, look up drop bear. This is an Australian thing I never heard of. So, just stop right now. Google drop bear. D-R-O-P. Second word, bear.
All right.
So I'll let you do that in your own time and come back next episode. The guys were very excitedly telling me about those. So
what I've heard is that, I mean, maybe this is a myth. You can probably straighten me out now. Is that the koalas will get drunk. No, the koalas will get somehow intoxicated by eating and having the leaves ferment. This sounds like bullshit to me. And then they will be drunk and fall out of trees. And that is one of the major causes of death of koalas is just getting drunk and falling out of trees.
I'll tell you, I mean, I just saw nothing to refute that. again, this is a very large city, like larger than New York City. So I didn't get a chance to see. The only koalas I saw were in a zoo. But I will say that public intoxication is such a rampant problem in Australia that they put signs on the street. They put signs in your taxi. Like, there are signs everywhere saying, don't drink in public. Like, people have to be reprimanded. So, presumably, if it's that much of a problem, I bet koalas, that happens. I'm pretty sure. The toilets, utter myth. They don't flush around at all, much less the opposite direction.
Yeah, I think I'd read that was a myth somewhere.
They just flush down. Like, their toilets, first of all, there's only one toilet manufacturer in the entire country. It's Caroma. Because I stared at the word Caroma over and over again every time I urinated.
Yeah.
Like, at different places.
I mean, if you see toilets, a lot of them will have, like, where the water comes out is a... We'll make the water go in a certain direction.
Yeah, these don't. Out. These go. These force it equally down. I checked.
Okay.
Like, I checked several times. Also, you don't flush urinals, which is weird.
Oh, yeah, they're just... You said they were just troughs.
Well, there were a lot of troughs. Like, in... Like, I think, like, county fair... Right, you don't see troughs at nice places.
Right, and when we were at the art festival, whatever, Cornhill, just a couple days ago, they had a portable. It was like a step up from a porta potty. It was like a trailer that had.
Oh yeah,
half
that's
of the trailer
right,
was
right.
A men's room, and the other. Half
I didn't
was
use
a,
it. Yeah,
you can go in there. But that was a piss trough.
Okay.
In there for the guys.
Right.
I assume it was something else for the women. I didn't check.
It's a squat trough. Is that
a
thing,
I
ladies?
May be wrong. I don't know.
Is there a squat trough? I mean, why not? So, toilets.
It's all just in the floor. Just walk in.
Well, I did see that because I did go to the old Melbourne jail.
And oh God!
They put you in the drunk tank, and there's just a drain in the floor with a constant urination. Now, I did urinate a lot because coffee is a competitive sport in Melbourne.
Okay.
Which is awesome. They drove Starbucks out of almost the entire city.
What?
Yeah, okay, look it up. It's totally true.
They drove
Starbucks could not keep up with the competitive like quality and hipsterism of coffee in this city.
Okay.
So, like, I got there. And I read up, like, I didn't have a lot of time, and I was really there for
it. So just to give people who haven't been paying attention a little bone here, you have been on a coffee diet such that coffee is basically your breakfast.
Coffee
right?
is my breakfast and has been for three years.
Yeah, so it's been that for a while.
3 years as of this month.
Right.
But I mean,
so that's where you're coming from.
Stuff,
you
yeah.
you drink a lot of coffee.
And my taste in coffee and my preparation of coffee obviously has become pretty erudite, embellished. I don't know what the word would be there, but. I put a lot of work into my coffee.
Hyper aware, I don't know.
Sure. I did try Nespresso, too.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. So I assume Nespresso was like Keurig.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Nespresso is legit. You get a crema on it. It doesn't come in giant plastic fucking nasty capsules. I can taste the plastic. It comes in little metal espresso canisters.
Mm-hmm.
So that shit shoots out some... I mean, it's not... You know, grade A coffee from a barista, but it's head and shoulders above Keurig. So I was actually really surprised by that. I took a picture. I was like, this is a barista level crema, you know, that little foam. So I'd read up on it. I was like, okay, obviously I need to drink as much coffee as humanly possible. Because I actually kept the coffee diet going just without the butter.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't fast as long, but I still would. I managed to get through with a couple of really good, heavy, you know, cups of coffee until noon every day. Which is 14 hours ahead. Which is very confusing for... calling home or work or pretty much anything when you're trying to think about U.S. time. So I got to the hotel and there's okay. Let's take a step back. There's a huge story here. So
are we going to talk about Nero or is that
yeah? So why the fuck did I go to Australia?
Why did you go to Australia?
So I got a call from my boss about. Actually, Nero just texted me. Fuck you, Prime Day. Oh God, you're such a scam. So I got a call from my boss on Thursday, June 24th or 2nd, somewhere around there, that week. It was like 2 or 3 p.m. and he goes, hey, there's a pretty good chance you're going to have to go to Australia tomorrow. But he just came out of
tomorrow.
It came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Like instant excitement and then instant like dread. Like, what? And he goes, and for a couple weeks. I'm like, what the fuck, dude?
Because immediately you're in your head like, there are things I want to be here for very much in the next couple of weeks.
I don't like traveling for my family. I am a homebody through and through. Like, I can handle it. I handle it great. But, like, I don't want to fucking leave my wife with my three-year-old for 2 weeks. That sucks for her. It's a lot of work.
Absolutely.
And I miss my family. It's been really cool. Simon missed me so much. But anyway. But he wouldn't commit to it.
Your boss.
My boss.
Not Simon missing you.
He was very committed to missing me. Actually, he didn't give a shit about me until I got back. He never wanted to hang out video with me. He was just like, all right. Like, I just couldn't get him interested. So I was like, well, when are you going to know? He's like, I'll let you know more soon. Today. I was like, wait, yeah. So a couple hours later, he calls back. He goes, okay, well, we still don't know yet, but there's like an 80% chance. So, like, pre-book your flights because we use a travel agent in the company. Mm-hmm. He's like, so figure your flights out and save it. I'm like, okay. He's like, book the absolute cheapest flights possible. And I'm like, it's still $20-something.
Which is not that bad for an intercontinental flight like that.
It's basically the longest. I mean, it was three flights, but it's more or less the exact opposite side of the world from us.
Yeah.
I think it's the
most distant. Because you can spend crazy money on those.
Well, yeah, if I had flown business, it would have been like 10 grand.
Yeah.
But... And man, that would have been nice. No, actually, that flight wasn't bad. So, I prepped it, but then he didn't get back to me until like 8 p.m. And he's like, okay, you're going to Australia. And I'm like, so I logged on. I'm like, I can't book any flights. They won't let you book international travel with less than 12 hours. Like, they just don't do it. So he's like, all right, we'll leave Saturday then. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Like, I understood. And like, the reason why this is my coworker and very good friend Nero was already there. Already in emergency capacity,
mm-hmm.
had about a week since getting back from Australia when he ended up going back because there was a lot of work that needed to be done for this thing that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't name the hotel, but he was staying at a very nice hotel that I ended up staying at as well.
Right.
And
this is the freakiest of freak accidents
that I've heard. Nero has crazy luck, good and bad, just crazy. So he was ironing his clothes, right? Which I also did and was very scared
And this also goes to my theory that everything in Australia is trying to murder you.
It is not just the living things, yes. But even the inanimate objects. So Nero was ironing. Now keep in mind that they have 220 volts.
Uh-huh.
So I'm pretty convinced that their irons are hotter.
Okay.
Because I burned myself on a plug.
Hmm.
So I know that their shit's hotter, just in general. So he was ironing, and his ironing board at the hotel had a defective pin. You know that long rod that holds, like, the thing claps onto? Do you ever iron?
It's been a while.
Okay, so there's, like, a long rod, and there's a tension. It runs, no, it's in the base of it, and it runs the whole length. And there's, like, a tension bar that slides mm-hmm. along it and puts the legs out.
Yeah.
So that was defective, and it just gave up while he was ironing. And so this 220-volt iron fell right onto his foot. So not only did this heavy-ass iron fall onto his foot, but it was on and just burned the shit out of his
foot. And he didn't have any socks on or anything.
No. Just... I mean, maybe it wouldn't have mattered. He didn't have shoes on, that's for sure. And so, like, he showed me the progression of pictures, and it's like, oh, that looks moderately painful. Oh, something's happening. Oh, God, it split open. Because, like, the burn, because it was more the burn than anything, but it, like, right in the middle of his foot.
So it was a combination of a gouge and a burn at the same
time. It was a forceful burn, like a really gouging in there. I'm gonna burn in between the ligaments, not just a skin burn.
So, you know, you would think, you know, based on... lightsaber science, and it would have just cauterized the wound right away. But apparently it doesn't really work that way.
You know, there was no kyber crystal involved, so. That's for dismemberment, Mike. Everyone knows that. So, you know, he was injured, and he was willing to stick it out, but they wanted to get him home, and so I ended up going. Now, I knew that he had gotten hurt. You know, I said, Erica, look, this is the story. She goes, I get it. Go, I'll be okay. We had luckily kind of already celebrated our anniversary. In like drips and drabs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's our 7th anniversary. It's not like a huge milestone where we had something big planned. So like we still have something coming, and then we did stuff. So it sucked, but it was doable. So I booked a flight. I flew out, and on the second leg, lost my glasses. On the way to Australia.
How do you do that?
So they were in a case, my glasses case, in one of the pockets of my very, very full backpack.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my carry-on. and I had it under the seat, and it fit. And the flight from D.C. to L.A. was tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the, for some reason, it was super cramped. I'm not a big guy, so I was, like, not used to being cramped like that. And I was trying, and they had plugs. They had actual U.S. outlets, like, full-blown outlets. So I was playing the, so I bought a Nintendo Switch,
right,
which is another funny story. I guess I'm just going to be talking a lot this episode. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm going to be drinking a lot.
That's great. So I was plugging my Switch in because it has abysmal battery life because it's a full console and handheld form. And I had a, like, I remember fighting with the plug to get it out of my bag. So I knew it was hung up on stuff. And I think what happened was I couldn't see. And I think it had hooked my glasses case and pulled it up with it.
Oh.
And just, it fell. It wouldn't have made any noise because it was already on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. So, yeah, like I had to go 2 weeks with barely, like, you know, with weird sleep, which I don't, you don't know if you wear contacts, but it makes contacts harder. But I had no glasses. So, and I just got, they were like $600 glasses. I had just gotten like the ever the super lightweight, all the spinners and flashing lights and everything you get on glasses. I got those. And it was all FSA. Gosh. So it sucked. And I didn't get them back on the way home, which I was hoping. But so that sucked. But the Qantas flight wasn't bad.
So you still don't have them. They're just gone.
Oh, they're gone. I called the, you know, lost and found, and they didn't call me back. I was in LAX again on the way home, and I, like, genuinely tried. I couldn't even figure out where the fuck the lost and found was. That's a whole nother story that I won't even tell because it just made me so mad. I hate LAX now. It's the longest story of it. So because this is Memento and I'm telling this all out of order, so I had one day, thankfully, to prepare. Mm-hmm. Right. So I was like doing shit around the house and trying to prep. And I'm like, you know what? If I have to be on a plane for 58 fucking hours and in layovers for a total of 58 hours round trip, I want a Nintendo Switch. Because God damn it, I do.
Okay.
So I managed to track one down.
And you already have some, you know, you've already got the K1 tablet, which I guess wasn't enough for you.
It doesn't have a killer app. And it doesn't have the ability to hold it as a single console. Like, you have to have the controller.
Does,
no, it doesn't.
I showed you the Snap-on.
But that's third party. It's not integrated.
God. But you hate it anyway. As soon as you saw it,
I hated
it. This looks dumb, man.
Yeah, but I ended up dealing with the Nintendo thing on
which
the
is the same thing.
I know. Yeah. So, you know, look, necessity is the mother of being a hypocrite, as we've learned. So I called around. I made a lot of calls, and apparently the only place you could find it is GameStop. Everyone else just, it wasn't happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I called like 8 GameStops, and then they kept directing me to other GameStops. I finally found one way the fuck out, and it was either going to be Greece or Brockport. It was the only two of them, of course, because they're the furthest out from like anything.
Civilization. No, you can say it. Yeah.
No. Well, Brockport had like 8 Switches in stock, and I'm like, of course they do. It's like an hour and a half. I'm not. Yeah. And I'm watching the clock tick down here, but I called the Grease store and they're like, yeah, we actually have 3. And I was like, I will bring you Tim Horton donuts if you just please. I know you're not supposed to hold them. Can you hold them for 1 hour? and the woman was very nice. She's like, yeah, that's fine. So I like ran to Tim Hortons and grabbed like the best donut. I paid extra for the extra nice donuts, like the Reese's ones. And I roll in. I was like, here's a 6-pack of donuts. Thank you. And she's like, and I had no idea the significance of this until later. But she's like, oh, let me get your Switch. So she goes in the back and she comes out and she was all excited. She goes, you're getting the red and blue one. Now, I had no idea that there's an extreme demand for the red and blue.
Uh-huh.
I wanted the gray one and because it just looks sleeker. But everyone wants the red and blue one.
So she's bringing out this like amazing thing and you're like, yeah, okay, I guess.
I was thankful, but I think it was clear I didn't understand the significance of it.
Uh-huh.
I was like, thanks, no, I really appreciate it. And I could tell she was like, oh. But yeah, so apparently if you're ever trying to get a hard-to-get video game system, promise donuts, because GameStop employees love them.
All right.
But it was so weird, because I was like, look, I'm flying to Australia in X number of hours. Other than Zelda, like, just tell me what I need to buy. I've never done that before. I've always known. I've been researched.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I know nothing about this console other than it'll be good on a plane. And they're like, oh, you need a case. And she tried to sell me a screen protector, and I was like, yeah, okay. And now I know I have to buy one. I bought one on Amazon.
Because it's probably a really soft screen compared to everything else.
The dock scratches it. Two of Andrew's friends, who are dyed-in-the-wool gamers, scratched their Switches because it's that easy to scratch it. So, yeah, I'm not going to make that mistake. But I got a hard case, like a Zelda-branded hard case. And anyway, so, yeah, the Switch, you know, It's a console in handheld form. I haven't even had a desire to
boot it up. A handheld that can be also be used as a console?
No, because a handheld denotes a lower hardware spec. This is a full-blown console in terms of hardware spec. Like, you can hear the fan going while you're playing it as a handheld because it's, like, really working hard. Hmm. It's no PS4, but it's not a PS Vita. You know what I mean?
Like, so does that mean the battery life blows when you're using it as a handheld?
Terrible. I mean, if I turned it down, so it depends on the game. Like, Zelda's is like a massive open world game. Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of chews up processor cycles. If you turn sound off and brightness to the lowest setting, which on the plane is fine. You turn the light out. Then I got like 3 or 4 hours out of it.
Yeah.
Not great.
Not great, no.
But I did have the Switch on the trip, and that was actually quite nice. I slept on the Qantas flight. I sat down with Erica before I left, and I was like, show me the money. Show me the best way to sleep. Like, what should I do? So she had me stay up for most of the 2 nights beforehand.
So her suggestion was exhaust yourself?
Well, yeah. I mean, sleep deprive yourself, and then sleep on that, like, 1 hour initial flight to get yourself in, starting to align with Australia time. And then, which I was actually able to do, you know, me and sleep, but I was able to like pretty much pass out in a very short flight, which was cool. Do it.
I'm opening the kombucha.
I like how you've embraced the forearm opening technique.
It's easier.
It is easier. And it doesn't hurt your hand.
It does not.
And on the Qantas flight, so whenever you fly internationally, which I don't remember from my honeymoon, you're okay. But I'm sure they did it.
It was close. Oh, that was a close foam.
You've just lost a lot of carbonation. But when you're on an international flight, they get you on the destination time right away. So like, if it's morning where you're going at that moment, then you're going to get breakfast before you get dinner, you know, even if it's nighttime where you are, that kind of thing. So that helped get me in Australia time. So I slept when I was supposed to. So by the time I hit the ground Monday morning, 14 hours ahead. So I left Saturday morning and got in Monday morning because of the time change. Like, I was tired, but I wasn't jet lagged. Like, I was able to actually do work on Monday. Mm-hmm. I met with Nero and met the project manager, Ruse. Yeah, it was crazy. It was madcap.
So yeah, and you did your work.
I'm proud of what, like, the Australia guys had a tough time, and Nero did a lot of work figuring out what needed to be fixed. And then, so I came in. We're trainers. Mm-hmm. This was not training work. This was project management work. But somehow we were the only ones who could do it because it was, I don't know, we were the right men for the job.
So let's skip that.
Yeah, but
and that get went into well. What were some of your observations from Australia?
I have a list.
I knew you did. That's why I give you that.
Thanks for that underhanded T-ball super super proper question.
So what did you find interesting about Australia, Mike? Anything stick out?
So I've told you some of these things, but there were only 8 or 9 types of cars on the road, which was weird. Like, you saw the same car over and over again, because just it's a general importing issue for them.
Oh, yeah. So, so everything that gets imported is just stupid expensive in Australia. Is that pretty accurate?
I'll get into that with details. But, yes. So they had, until recently, they were an auto manufacturing country. So I presumed that auto, you know, pricing wasn't that bad for them.
Was it Holden or something?
Holden, yeah. And there's a lot of Holdens, a lot, which I'd never heard of. But their unions got pricier and pricier. It's kind of like the U.S. issue. Like, you know, the quality of life and the cost of living is higher, so the unions ask for more money. And so finally, the car manufacturer's like, oh, we're out. Also, China's not that far. So we'll just go back to China because I think Holden's Chinese. So it was interesting that there were tons of Golfs and GTIs. Tons of them. It was one of the most common cars. I don't know why, other than maybe Volkswagen's a major common import. I have an open one, actually. But I got to see a R-Wagon.
A what?
A Golf R-Wagon.
R-Wagon.
Okay. It's like the fucking unicorn of cars.
Yeah, which do we even know if we're getting those here yet?
No, we're not getting them. Okay. Nope. They brought one over in 2015 just to taunt people, but no, they'll never bring it over. It's my ultimate car, but it would be so powerful. Like, I'm getting the Alltrack with the engine that it's coming with without complaint because I don't want too powerful an engine because that's not a good idea. Like, half the women there color their hair.
Like, you mean like interesting colors, red, like blue and red.
Blue and gray were the most common colors.
And these are like adult women would get this.
Kids, college students, adult women, old women, full gamut.
I think that's kind of cool. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing that here. I think that's, people should do more stuff like
Let their freak flag fly.
Exactly.
And the blue wasn't like obnoxious, like, electric blue. It was like kind of a subtle blue. Like, you look at it and you're like, it's really... No, it's blue. They drive on the left, which is not a huge surprise.
Yeah.
But they walk on the left, too. Unless they were Asian or on a cell phone.
What?
So, I don't know if in China, Japan, whatever the closest countries are, they don't... maybe they drive on the right there?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so...
Pretty sure.
There was it's a very diverse country. Very diverse. And in the city, especially. But it was cool. It was just... very diverse. But I noticed that I was having a hard time walking on the left because I kept forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would risk running into people who were natives. But when I finally got it correct and started walking on the right, on the left, then I was almost always running into people who were Asian. Because I think they hadn't bothered to adjust yet. And if anyone on a cell phone wasn't paying attention.
Uh-huh.
So I guess you just default to the right if you're on a cell phone is my takeaway there.
Weird.
All right. But yeah, that was the hardest thing for me to get a handle on was walking on the left. But think about it. That extends to which way you look when you cross the road. And that almost got me into trouble a few times. Because when you cross the road there's up to like 16 lanes. Because they have regular road of like 2 lanes. And then they have a service road, which is for U-turns and specific turns. Then they have the tram line going in both directions. So you got, even a normal road has 4 lanes in one direction, and then 4 lanes the other direction. And I'm looking the wrong fucking way the whole time.
Do they have like a ridiculous amount of traffic accidents there? Or they just
I didn't see any. Yeah. I mean, they have really strict lights.
Like, what does that mean?
So I noticed this, like the 8 lanes that you had to cross, there was no way to do it without running. Like, they really make you work in that country to cross the road. The crosswalk, and it beeps, for the blind and stuff, is really, like, it was a good sound because it was not, like, submarine klaxon, but it was notable. So you're like, oh, I need to hurry. But there was no fucking way to do it, even a brisk pace. So I saw parents with kids, like, just booking it across the street. I'm like, all right, it's not just me. This is a thing on this road. So I finally, like, by the end, I kept telling myself, look, I want to look left than right. I need to remember to look right than left. And I kept saying that to myself in my head. And I didn't die. So
you didn't die. And that's a tremendous accomplishment.
So to your point, even the traffic wants to kill
you. Yes.
So speaking of cars, I noticed this within my first 10 minutes in a taxi on the way from the airport. And it just, I couldn't get over it. The Holden SV6 is everywhere. That is the El Camino.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
Everywhere. Australia fucking loves that car.
Yeah.
It was weird.
And I think there's a Holden General Motors connection.
Hmm.
Because they were, they made the GTO, I believe.
Hmm.
It was actually a Holden.
Hmm.
It was like a GTO muscle car that they brought back for like a couple of years. I can't remember which years it was brought back.
Yeah, I wasn't into cars probably at that point.
But this is recent though. This is like within the last 10 years.
Okay, I've really only been into cars the last couple of years.
All right,
since I got back and you've been.
And I know people were begging GM to bring over the Holden version of the El Camino to the U.S.
They could have because they're fucking everywhere. They have truck caps on them. They're like all tricked out. I was like, what the hell? Granted, it's probably a pretty practical car depending on your line of work, but it was odd because again,
right
here, like even a Subaru, which I think is one of the more ubiquitous, Subaru and CRVs, right? Some of the most ubiquitous cars here. Multiply that by like 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's how often you see a car of a certain make and model. And it's just weird. But I kept seeing El Camino. So that whole Australian slang shortening thing, totally legit.
Slang shortening thing.
Yeah. So they don't just have their own slang. Well, really they have British slang, but they shorten everything.
Okay.
So, and it drives Erica crazy. So instead of breakfast, you get brekkie.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it is so endemic to the population that they don't call McDonald's McDonald's. What do you think they call McDonald's?
Mackey?
Very close.
Mickey?
You were close to the first time. Think Australian pronunciation.
Not Mikey?
Actually, Mikey is their tram card. Macca's.
Macca's?
And to the point where I have a picture, I'll show you some other time.
You want
to
get some Macca's?
You want to get brekkie at Macca's.
Brekkie at Macca's.
McDonald's, God. It doesn't call itself McDonald's. It calls itself Macca's. So that's why I took a picture. I'm like, that looks like the McDonald's logo. So I showed Ruse. He's like, yeah, that's what they call McDonald's here. So, yeah, for what that's worth. So the shortening thing is totally legit. So Nero, it's funny, I witnessed a funny exchange with Nero. He was talking to one of the sales guys, and the sales guy's like, Anya. And Nero's like, what?
What?
And he's like, Anya. Anyu. And Nero's like, I know I'm not understanding you. Is there something on me? And he goes, no, good on, you know, like, good on you, mate. Like, Anya. And Nero's like, look, I get most of, he was like, it's Nero, so he can get away. He's like, I get most of your fucking slang. But when you guys shorten shit like that, no one understands it. The guy got it.
I mean, you've taken out the subject. You've taken out the verb.
You're using slang from England.
You got this just dangling participle, which is doing nothing for me.
It sounds like a Russian woman's name. Anya. That was pretty funny.
It's a preposition in the pronoun. I can't work with this.
Your head would have exploded as like a...
I would have. I should never go to this country.
Everyone smokes.
Oh, another reason I should never go to this country.
Yeah, I had a... I actually didn't have that hard
time. So it's like
time.
America 30 years ago.
Yeah, but America 30 years ago, if it knew that smoking killed you... Because, and I have a picture of this to show you too. I'll do a slideshow for you guys of actually interesting pictures. Thanks. So in Australia, their cigarette boxes have to prominently display a scare image of some kind. And the actual like brand of cigarette has to be in very small font in the bottom. So Ruse was carrying around a... Ruse has smoked, and he and his partner, his girlfriend, also smoked. They call their significant other's partners there. He had a pack of cigarettes that had a brand name, but I couldn't read it because all I could see, which took up about 3/4 of the box, was a dead lung. And it was a black lung was the prominent
label. I thought they'd done that here for like a little while, but it didn't.
Maybe, but maybe. They embrace it there. And they were joking about it. They're like, yeah, there's a black lung, there's a dead guy. It's like a person with cancer who like weighs like 5 pounds.
Isn't that just making it sexier?
I hope not. if it's that's making it sexier to you, then there's priorities. Priorities are an issue.
Well, it doesn't seem to be doing much because, as you said, everybody smokes. Mm-hmm.
I think they said the packs were going up to $30 Australian.
Oh my God.
So they're trying, they're trying to make it impossible to be a smoker there, but it is not working. So they must be making a mint in taxes. China... like, owns that country. And I mean that literally. So I was talking to some locals here and there. And so as soon as I got off my plane, actually, I hadn't gotten to the airport yet. There were, like, Chinese Bank of this and Chinese, like, all these, like, financial institutions that had China prominently in their name. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh, that's interesting. They must have a strong Chinese community here because they're so close. But it's, like, literally the industries are largely Chinese. And it's actually a problem. Because the guy I was working with, Ruse, he and his partner really wanted to buy a house. And it's really hard to do because this new money, upper middle class Chinese population is coming over and buying up all the property as investments. Oh.
So they're raising all the prices on
it's property. It's like San Francisco. It's driving the price up. It's just making it harder to get to buy a home.
Yeah.
So
it's probably not going to slow down anytime soon.
Not the way China's economy is going.
Just to get political for a very brief amount of time. One of the problems with China, and one of the problems with China for the people who have money in China, is that they are running out of things to spend money on in China.
It's a communist country still.
It is, and so they're having to look at foreign countries to just to invest all this money that they have.
Otherwise, it just sits and does
nothing. It does. And they, I mean, there, you know, there's a, you know, small portion of the population, which is actually a lot of people, a small percentage, but that, yeah, translates to a lot of people who are actually making quite a bit of money in China.
The 1% of
nothing
China,
to, nothing to invest it on there.
Right. No, that makes sense. And Australia's close.
Yeah.
And the population, I was reading some crazy statistic. The population of Australia is set to like double in the next 20 years, like something crazy, the entire continent. Ugh. I mean, there is 70% undeveloped land. Yeah. I mean, it would be a shame to kill all that bush, but there's a lot of land.
Yeah.
And Perth is sitting off in the west, like in no man's land.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the engineers was telling me a funny story. So there's a road that bisects east to west. So it goes, it's this one road that goes from one end of Australia to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mostly through bush country. And so, like, other than occasional gas stations just to keep you going, there's nothing and no one. So he was like, yeah, driving along this, like, when you see another car, you'll go hours without seeing your car.
That's creepy.
Right? So he's like, it is a big deal. No matter who you are, you get excited. You flash your lights, you honk your horn, you slow, you wave. You might pull over and say hi. Like, it is that big a deal to see another car.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine that?
No, I really can't.
It's
there's I can't think of any place in this country where you
there would get there that. Isn't. I mean, even in the Midwest, where you get probably large swaths of, like, farmland, there's still civilization here and there, pockets of it, but nothing. It was interesting. Like, my takeaway was, like, even with the diversity, the overall breakdown made you feel like you're in Europe, right? Mm-hmm. So it didn't feel that alien.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really started to pay attention, there were things that were like, that's really odd to me, like, for me. They're really strange concepts, like, oh, most of your country is undeveloped. And I just ate kangaroo. You can do that.
Wait, you ate kangaroo? Did you eat kangaroo?
I ate kangaroo.
Oh, my God.
It was awful.
Was it like just really gamey?
Yes. So they warned me. So we were, it was one of my last nights. They wanted to get me to a footy game. I'm like, I don't give a shit, guys.
Wait, what?
Soccer, you know, football.
You just said footy game.
That's what they call it. Footy game. I can never call anything but a footy game now because it's such a funny thing to say. And I have to say it very nonchalantly so you get that reaction.
Yeah.
The MCG, the Melbourne Cricket Grounds, are one of the biggest attractions
they
in Melbourne.
Call it cricky? What do they...
Well, it's just the MCG. You know what you're getting. So there's the footy games, and then there's the MCG. It's Australia, man.
So, okay, and the last night, you want
to
eat the forbidden meat?
I had seen it. I had seen kangaroo burgers. Thank God I didn't get a kangaroo burger. I was awful.
Why? I would have thought that'd be better because it's
no,
at least
it's too much
up.
Kangaroo. Oh. No, I got a kangaroo burrito. Thank God.
Oh, okay.
So it was only one component of many.
Yeah.
But so I looked at the guys around me. I'm like, guys, should I eat kangaroo? They're like, okay, it's a box you should check. Eat it once, but they're like, do you see any of us eating kangaroo? And I'm like, no. And they said, have it once. It's really chewy and really gamey, and no one in this country actually likes kangaroo. But you need to eat it once.
Yeah.
So they weren't.
And I've had goat before, and I had kind of the same reaction. It's like,
okay,
because I was like, I want to try goat, and I was like, all right, no, I'm done.
Well, mutton.
Well, that's different.
Yeah, I know.
But I you know, like, you've been to like a Caribbean themed place or something.
Yeah, you want to try the indigenous.
Well,
like,
if somebody makes good goat, it's got to be this place,
right?
And you try, it's like,
no, goat just sucks. That was my big revelation with God. What was it? Was it goat?
Oxtail?
No, yeah. There was something that's normally horribly gamey, and I had it once, and I was like, oh, this is amazing, and it's the only time I ever had it that it was good. But it was like a heritage strain of that meat.
Rabbit?
No, it wasn't goat. It's lamb. Oh, it was lamb.
Okay.
It was lamb. I don't like lamb. I don't like the thought of lamb. I refuse to eat veal. It's just awful. The concept of it is awful. But I really hate lamb, and I tried this one heritage strain, super hipster farm lamb, and I was like, this is amazing. I've never had good lamb since.
Hmm.
So it was one time. So I ordered this burrito, and I was like, all right, I'm drunk. It was like the one night I went drinking.
All right, I'm going to backtrack for a second.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So when you get like that Greek mutton stuff that they make gyros out of.
I love that.
I love that. What is that? Is
seasoning
that like a
and
mix of
roasting.
Beef and mutton?
I don't think so. I think it's just slow roasted and well seasoned. I think the Greeks,
All right.
Here's my theory on
that. That shit is delicious.
Yes. A good one.
Yeah.
Here's my take on this. The older the civilization, you don't get much older than the Greeks as far as a surviving civilization, the more likely they figured their shit out.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Greeks said, you know, hey, Slovakius, we have all these goats. Hermes, they taste like shit. Well, Slovakius, maybe we should spend 20 generations figuring out how to make it taste good. And then 20 generations later, they're like, Slovakius Jr. This tastes great. Let's call it a hero.
Yeah. And I might say the same thing out of, for like Indian dishes.
Mm.
So you're like, what is this? Chickpeas and cauliflower? All right.
With like,
this is delicious. Spices. Oh my God.
Well, do you remember when Erica found that article? Like they did they found some really interesting stuff about specifically Indian cuisine recently.
No, I don't think so.
Indian cuisine combines flavonoids in a way that no other cuisine does.
Huh.
So most cuisines, when you know like the gastro science of it, like the way we pair food in most cultures makes sense from a logical standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Like this would go with this because of this reason. But the Indians are like, fuck it. And they just mix all this shit together and it tastes really good.
Yeah.
But on like a gastronomical level, it's like, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So... Look it up, kids. Like
peas, carrots, and cauliflower, and then a little bit of honey or something.
Yeah, and some weird cumin
shit. And like, why are? And then like that, whatever that weird cheese is that they make.
Paneer.
And we're gonna blend that up.
Yeah, and it's gonna smell like BO. It will make your house smell like BO. I promise you. But it tastes awesome.
Yeah.
See if there's any other observations I had. Apparently healthcare is free. So I had this like.
I think this is a thing. If it's not Australia, it's some other country I'm thinking of. But I think it is Australia that you can't. They won't let you immigrate or to the country. They won't accept you into the country. If you're past a certain age.
Oh, because you're a drain on society.
Because the free health care. Because, well, like...
Kind of
like,
makes,
you
know, sense.
If you're too old, they're like, nope, you can't live here.
You don't really have anything to bring to us.
So. Yeah.
I mean,
apparently it was enough of a problem that they had to say, no, stop doing this.
Yeah. I could see that. So I had a cab drive. I only took like 3 cabs total. 2 in from the airport and like 1 cab one night because I just happened to be out somewhere. With a coworker, and I had this kind of older, like kind of weird cab driver, which is usually a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're in for a good cab ride because you can have a weird conversation. It'll be memorable.
Okay.
So like, because right, one of the first things this guy says is, now keep in mind, like I've been out in Melbourne, like I've been in the CBD, the Central Business District, because everything's shortened.
Of course.
I've been out at night there already a couple times at this point. I've barely been in the city very long, but I've been walking around all over the place. Because my hotel was not near anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to walk like 40 minutes to get to anything. Or take the trams, which I hadn't figured out yet. So I took a cab, and I'm not afraid of this city. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's not me, like, oh, I was a New Yorker. Like, I just can tell it's not that kind of city to be worried about. So I get in this cab, and he's driving me home, and he's like, oh, where are you from? I'm like, oh, New York. So I was like, oh, I really like the city. It's clean, it's nice. He goes, yeah, you know, you won't get gunned down here. And I'm like, all right. I'm in for an interesting conversation because that's not what you lead off with normally. But he was the one who told me about it. He was the first one to bring up the Chinese investment issue.
Okay.
And he had more of a racist slant on it, but an older cab driver. Yeah. It's sort of par for the... I don't think I've had many older cab drivers who weren't racist somehow. It just seems to be part of that experience. Not that I'm condoning it. It just seems to be part of the thing. But he... So he was talking about healthcare, and he's like, yeah, you guys have a real healthcare problem, huh? I'm like, yeah, don't even get me started right now. Like, our country's going to the shitter. He's like, yeah, in our country, you get a card, and no one's going to let you die from a cold, and you're going to get the health you need. And I'm like, really? It's just that simple? He goes, yeah, everyone in the country gets basic healthcare. And this was, I thought this was interesting. I haven't checked it. I don't know if he's telling the truth or not, but it seemed plausible. He said back in 1977... they let doctors start to charge if they wanted to.
If they wanted to?
Yeah, and I understand why they did this. So I'm sure, like everywhere else, there are some doctors who are incredibly gifted.
Mm-hmm.
and want to have rich clientele. If they want to be that doctor.
Okay. Right?
Like, I can keep a person alive longer than other doctors, that kind of thing. they're here. You know, there are doctors like that everywhere. They can actually know what they're doing. And so...
I'll prescribe you all the opioids you want.
That's not the kind of doctor I'm talking about, but yes, there's that too. So, but what he said was, he goes, so what we discovered was, you know, pretty quickly, the greedy doctors were not good.
Hmm.
He said, so what we kind of realized was you avoided those even for the free services, and you went to the free doctors, and most of them were just doing their job.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I sort of was thinking of it like acting in England. It's not a prestige thing, necessarily. It's like, it's a trade. It's just accepted as a job you can have. That's just like another job. You get good at it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I thought that was really interesting. But yeah, he's like, yeah, everyone has free healthcare. You can pay for more if you want, but most of the doctors who charge suck. Hmm. So I thought it was really interesting. Lots of theater. I have some fun pictures for you of theaters, because the buildings in Melbourne, I won't say Melbourne. It just feels like I'm saying Melba toast.
I love Melba toast though.
Well, good for you. the buildings were works of art. Every other building had something interesting.
Well, I mean, you think of the classic is the Sydney Theatre.
Yeah, but I mean, I wasn't in Sydney and I was bummed. I really wanted, I still like to go to Sydney, but that's touristy.
Well, that's one of the most iconic images of any city in the world.
But that's ostentatious. This was more subtle. So a lot of the buildings had curvature to them that wasn't something you see a lot in the States.
Mm-hmm.
It's there's one building I walked by almost every day. I loved it. The whole front of it bent out and then bent back in. It was really cool because the people living in those apartments, some of them got more space than others, which I thought was interesting.
Oh.
And it had interesting sculptures in the front. Cool.
We should make some of those if you got pictures of them as our pictures.
Nope,
for
I know the picture.
All right.
Might involve my face and Paul Hogan. but I'll put a bunch on Facebook eventually. But yeah, there were lots of, they played a lot with ripple effects, a lot of trying to make them look organic. So there were ones with shutters that as you drove by them looked like they were moving because they were like a flipbook kind of thing. Lots of stuff. Way more than I've ever seen in New York.
They just like screwing with people, it sounds.
Oh, yeah, no, exactly. Well, because you're drunk all the time on the street in Australia since your cab is telling you not to puke and drink and puke. I did have 2 days of super tourism. And I mean, super tourism. I logged about 40,000 steps.
So you had 2 days of
one
no
weekend,
work to do.
One weekend. It was a shit show work-wise. I was on calls at 8 a.m. because I was trying to work with the American time zones.
Mm-hmm.
And
8 a.m. American time?
No, 8 a.m. Australian time. And then I'd work all day. So I'd work 8, 10 hours on a good day and then get some food and then go back to the hotel and then work more. So it was, I was there for a reason, so I didn't shirk that. But on the weekend, I was like, fuck this, I ain't doing shit. I'm just touristing. And I really wanted to go cuddle a koala to go on an excursion. It's illegal in Victoria.
Sorry,
I got some pictures. But I did, in 2 days, I did the Shrine of Remembrance, which was really cool. It's like their military museum.
Mm-hmm.
The Botanic Gardens, took 100 plant porn pictures for you.
That's cool.
They were pretty cool. They had Guilfoyle's volcano.
No, I love Botanical Gardens. I'd be fucking through those.
But this was, they were awesome. Free, and you just walk in, and there's all these gates. You just enter them wherever you feel like, and just walk around. But they had, the highlight for me was Guilfoyle's volcano, it was called.
Okay.
They recreated, because of the climate, they were able to recreate a desert volcano. So it's desert plants leading up to this fake volcano with this interesting arrangement on the inside. It was really odd. It was different. But the pictures are great. I showed them to Erica and she's like, the colors are really cool.
Cool.
So Shrine of Remembrance, Botanic Gardens. I went up to Eureka 88, which is the tallest point in the Southern Hemisphere. It's just a it's a skyscraper. And then I paid an extra $12 to go on the Edge.
It was a glass thing?
Yes.
Oh,
it's God. The world's only moving glass structure.
Moving glass structure.
Yeah. So it's a glass box with electrostatic glass. So you get in it and they don't let you bring your camera.
What?
Yeah. They're it's such a scam. Actually, funny story about this. Such a scam. They're like, well, we don't want you to drop it because it might break the glass. And I'm like, you fucking motherfuckers. That glass is 16 millimeters.
So they charge you to take...
You have to pay, exactly, you have to pay to get even go on it on top of the money. So it was like an extra $12 on top of the $24 you paid. Australian, so not as bad. Because their money sucks is what I'm saying. But then you got out there and then you couldn't take pictures, phone, anything. Mm. But they had everyone pose and they had a DSLR mounted.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we got some pictures. But it was corny. It was extra corny because they had everything opaque. They had the electrostatic glass, you know, energized so you couldn't see. And it goes out. You know you're moving. And then it's like, oh, what's going to happen? Weird sounds like something's breaking. Oh, and then the electrostatic glass would become clear. And you're like, we paid for this. We knew this was going
to
happen.
Wait, so this part is interesting to me. The electrostatic glass.
You never seen this?
I don't think so. It's, was it like literally flipping a switch and it goes from opaque to clear?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
That's got to be kind of trippy, though, to see that happen.
I've seen it before. Oh. It was really corny. They had sound effects and, like, they were flashing it. It's like, guys, I just want, like, you only have 10 minutes.
That seems like you're ruining the effect. I mean, it seems like it'd be more crazy for me to just have them, like, bloop. Oh my God, I can see through this now, and I couldn't a second ago.
Yes, if they did it all at once.
Yeah.
I think it would be a lot scarier to just have it going, like, you being forced to go out over it and you seeing exactly what's happening, but they didn't do that. They, like, plop it into view after you're already out.
Hmm.
I don't know. It felt stupid. It was
all right.
It was all a cash grab.
Okay.
The entire thing. So I posed for the pictures like everyone else, and I goofed around. On the way out, I borrowed a nice DSLR from Ruse.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that, I was taking pictures. And so I went up to the, where you could see the pictures. I flashed them with my camera, my phone to get the pictures of my pictures. And then I asked the guy, like, hey, can I see my pictures? And he's like, yeah. And he's looking at my camera. Like he had that look like, oh, here we go. And so he puts it on screen. I'm like, click. And then I'm like, okay, that's all I want to get. And then he switches the other one. I'm like, all right, click. But the second picture has his hand and face in it being like, mate, you can't do that, mate. Mate, you can't do that. And I'm like, oh, my bad, bro. And I just walked away. It's like, fuck you, man. I'm going to pay another $10 on top of the $36 I already paid. F yourself. But so that was all in one day. So Shrine of Remembrance Botanica, it's a lot of walking. The second day I did the Melbourne Zoo, where I got to watch koalas eating.
And you have a strange fixation on koalas.
They're adorable. I just wanted to hold one. And not a drop bear, though. Ooh, not a drop bear. And I saw some lazy motherfucking kangaroos. Very disappointing. I did not see a kangaroo standing up. They were all laying down. Because it's winter, and they're all like, whatever.
So, one quick question about this, and then we can move on to something else briefly. Do kangaroos get hit by cars a lot? Is that like a problem there?
Yeah, for a number of reasons. Because I asked.
Uh-huh.
So, as you've probably seen, you might have even sent the article, so stop me if you did.
No, I'm just basing this on the Kate Bush song, but go ahead.
Oh, no, it's a problem. So, self-driving cars can't identify kangaroos.
Okay.
I just read this article. Like,
they're
totally
invisible
independent
to
this.
Them?
I think it's they're human-sized, but they jump and they move fast. So, like, self-driving cars like, what the fuck? I'm just going for it, man. I can't deal with this. So, yeah. So, apparently, the self-driving
car... It's a kid on a pogo stick. I don't know what to do.
You never programmed me for this. Yeah, they're completely unprepared for that, so they will hit a kangaroo. But I was talking to one of the support guys grew up on a farm. His mom had, like, a legit Australian farm, like, in, like, the border of bush country.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's telling me about possums, like massive possums, would run along the fence and he'd spray them with the hose and they wouldn't fall off because they were so big. He'd be like, yo, dude, I hit them with the hardest stream and they would not fall off.
It was like, fuck you, man.
I'm a possum. But he said that most of the time, so kangaroos won't steal your children or anything. They're not like that.
Right.
But they'll like, something will have, like, a forest fire or drought or something will force them to kind of migrate.
Mm-hmm.
So he said every once in a while, their town would be just overrun with this, like, hopping swarm of kangaroos. And he's like, it's really, like, I grew up here.
It
but
sounds cute, but scary at
no,
the same
they're
time.
Not small. They're big and they're strong. Fuck that. You've seen that picture of the jacked kangaroo, right?
Yeah.
I think it's just scary. He's like, yeah, it's really disconcerting, even as an Australian, to be driving and then there's just a kangaroo on your hood. And it jumped from the ground to your hood and then it keeps jumping. And you're like, what did he say? He goes, you're just like, what the fuck, mate?
There's so much stuff like that in Australia, though.
It is a weird, weird country.
And they had, that's where they had that, those like that crazy tumbleweed sort of stuff that just gets everywhere.
I don't know about that.
It's something like a tumbleweed, and there are pictures of it, and it's just like it's like having snow, except it's made out of tumbleweeds.
So it's not like it latches on. Feet high. It just piles up.
Yeah, it just piles up.
Oh, weird.
And it's like an incredible fire hazard.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, there were a lot of fire hazard signs, or signs related to flammable things in Australia, I noticed.
Yeah.
And I was in Melbourne.
Everything in Australia was trying to kill you,
including the air. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I the hotel that I stayed in was very famous and very fancy. Presumably
trying to kill its inhabitants.
Presumably they put extra money into spider proofing, and so I didn't have any of those like wake up and there's a 2 foot wide, you know, like face hugger like above me on the ceiling. I had no experiences like that. Knock on wood.
Let's hope so. If you start coughing up eggs in a couple weeks, we'll know though.
Stranger Things season 2. Whatever. It's about the right time. So overall, like, and I'll say this about the guys at the office, because I thought this really spoke to the character of Australians in general. Although one of them, Ruz is from Tehran. Jean was from South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I think only John was the real, like, Australian of the group. There was John, and Ruz.
But again, this is in a major cosmopolitan area.
Yeah, this is one of the major cities.
I mean, even in the U.S., you'll get stuff like that, especially in the IT world, I think.
Right, but I would actually get to my point. So my point is, they were all in a very difficult situation, but they were really nice, and they were graceful, and they were really welcoming, and like, I would not have gotten, I've seen this situation to some degree before in mm-hmm. the States, and would not have gotten that reception.
You felt like you would have, in a lot of situations in other places, you would have been met with more animosity.
Oh yeah,
like,
totally.
You guys have fucked us over, you asshole. And
there was very clearly the understanding that I had they knew my situation, because they were the ones who made me come, ultimately, because John made the call, like, I need someone here, so send this Mike guy, which is, I guess, exactly what got said. But, like, the understanding was, like, I went there to help, and I was helping. So there, that helped,
mm-hmm.
as many times I could say help in a sentence. But overall, I felt like they could have been a lot, they could have been more animosity just in general, and there mm-hmm. really wasn't. So, and I felt that pretty much everywhere, like, it was a city, so people were high on their own fumes a lot of the time. You can just get that sense, right? People are young and fit and cool, but there was just a nicer sense of the interactions I had than really anywhere else I've ever been. except maybe Italy, but that was like a whole other, that you're like a foreigner in Italy, you know, not as much.
Well, good. I'm glad it wasn't completely terrible for you.
If I ever go back, I will have a whole bunch of shit figured out. How to get a visa, you know, where to stay in Melbourne. Like, I really wanted to bring Erica and Simon, and we considered it for a hot second, but the price, it was like $5,000 to fly them with me. Because it's like, well,
you get... And you don't want to put Simon through an international flight like that, right?
He's not at this age. Bad. I mean, in a couple of years,
over a day of just pure flying and traveling.
Well, the one flight's 15 hours. You sleep and there's movies. We could have done it. I mean, he was really good on his way to Florida to the point where I would have tried it with, you know, lots of shit to keep him occupied.
Yeah.
But even though one of the flights and the hotel room would have been covered, it still would have been $5,000 plus all the food, and they would have been on their own. I was working 70% of the 60% of the time, counting sleep, that I was there. So we nixed it, but definitely want to go back. Maybe I'll be able to go back for work under less pressing circumstances, and I can be like, hey, maybe it's the summer there. let's all go. But yeah, so that was my 2 weeks.
Good job surviving.
Thanks. Yeah, there was a lot of doubt. A lot of people have made the comment that everything's trying to kill you. Like, a lot of people. I'm like, guys, I get it. I'm somewhat capable. Survived this long. So I give Australia 2 thumbs up.
All right.
Even in winter.
Well, good. Super brief.
Yeah.
You finally got, you and Erica finally started watching The Good Place.
We finished it.
finished it.
Like, loved it.
You went through it, and then you got a point of like, but you just binged it after a few nights.
I have the ability to binge. Erica does not have the ability to binge, but we binged on The Good Place. We were doing 3 episodes a night, which for her is insane.
Well, I'm so glad you like it.
You were absolutely right. Thank you. It was great. And we were trying to figure out if knowing there was a twist was good or bad. Because we were like, do we wish we hadn't known? But we landed on it didn't really matter, and it did make it fun.
Yeah.
Because I think I already said this. We figured out parts of the twist, but weren't sure about
it. But when they dropped the hammer was dropped.
The hammer's dropped. There is definitive dropping of hammers with a loud clunk.
Yeah.
And it's a great moment. And you're like, ah, yeah, I was kind of waiting for this. Oh, okay. Yeah. And the exact details of the twist are difficult to... How much did you see coming?
I think Mel called some of it early on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, towards the middle, we're like, I'm not sure where this is going.
Yeah, we doubted everything.
Because they kept going in different directions.
It meanders, absolutely.
Like, we're going this way. Now we're going over here. Like, now we're... What? Where's this place? All right.
It has, like, it has an almost Usual Suspects quality to it, where when you look back, you're like, oh, fuck.
But when you get to the end, it's like, yeah, yeah, it's exactly. All there. It's like, they knew exactly what the fuck they were doing through the whole thing.
And Ted Danson is awesome.
Yeah.
And Kristen Bell is awesome. And they're all awesome. All those actors are really great.
They really
Like, Kristen Bell and Ted Danson being the main people in it. Like, but we love Chidi.
Yeah.
He was great. I really hated the neighbor. Not the monk, but his wife.
Yeah. Initially, yeah, but you really...
She really grows on you. She's really interesting in real life, too. Like, she's not an actress. She's like a DJ.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, her character...
She's, like, crazy tall.
Yeah, super tall. And her character in the show kind
of... There's some great line that Kristen Bell's character had, like, you, like, sexy skyscraper or something.
It was like an insult and a compliment at the same time. Yeah, there's a weird flirtatiousness, but it's a great show, and it's a half hour easy investment. I've been recommending it to every time. For some reason, a lot of people have been asking on Facebook, hey, what should I watch? I'm like, The Good Place.
Yeah.
Watch it right now. Cause you can slot it in with like your Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Like you need to break the long depressing shows up. Slot in The Good Place. Cause you'll laugh your ass off.
Excellent. Glad you like it. Wonder Woman. Maybe we should talk about that another time. Super positive though.
You saw it too, right? You guys did end up seeing it? Fucking loved it.
Yeah.
And I will say is this. The experience... So you know the first 20 minutes, how there isn't a guy in the whole film?
Yeah.
And the badassery, the slow motion bow and arrowing and all that?
Mm-hmm.
That is what playing Horizon Zero Dawn feels like. It's exactly the same thing. Run, 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 turn, whip out 3 arrows, launch them into the robot's head. It's awesome. I had that moment where, like, there was a moment, I think, on the beach where, like, one of the Amazons ran and jumped and twist and shot. I'm like, that's like Horizon Zero Dawn. Yeah, that's, it's one of the rare movies where the hype actually is not far off.
Mm-hmm.
Except I totally forgot who Ares was because it was pretty telegraphed, I thought.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I agree.
We are buddies in space. Oh, sorry, what?
No, go ahead.
We are buddies in space.
Wait, yoga. Yeah.
Did you say yoga? We are buddies in space. You are.
That's Michael Smith. You are.
And Michael Carossi. Cue Melanie's outro.
Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books.
So much easier now that I have that.
I know.
I don't have to read anything.
Seriously, this root beer kombucha is just fucking delicious.
So is it live or live?
I would say live.
I would say live.
Well, fuck you.
Look, man, I've been all over the world lately. I say things weird now. I know mysteries of life. You can only imagine. Like, kangaroo meat is terrible.
Yeah, I tried the Dr. Pepper one, and it was like... They're trying sort of to be Dr. Pepper, but it's not really.
Was it really, like, medicinal or really herby?
It was kind of a mix of both.
So, like, I mean, cinnamon cough syrup?
Sort of.
Okay.
It wasn't bad, but the root beer is just spot on.
And the cola's good.
I didn't try the cola.
Oh, okay.
The cola's boring. Is boring. It's maybe just theirs cola. Isn't. I don't know. But, yeah. Good as an herbal mixer and wonderful on its own.
Well, I'm drunk.